We've got a brand new story about the castaways.
We left our tiny island after years and months and days.
We built a little spaceship. It's crude, but it could fly.
We left for home and lost our way between the stars and sky.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite cartoon podcast here today with us. This is Knowing Season 3, the artist formerly known as Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
T-A-F-A-K-A-K-I-H-T-P?
Taffakapatapa? The artist formerly known...
Taffcap.
Mm-hmm. Is it working?
No, it is not. I'm Rob Clark Chan.
And we are joined for the, I think the third time now by a very, I mean, one of our all-star favorite guests, all-steer and all-star, Knowing all-star. And can I tell you right now, I don't know if I've told you this, but people have come up to me on the street. I mean, I knew them beforehand, so it's not so weird. And they've told me, yo, anytime you have this gentleman back, you should have him back because he's my favorite guest of anyone who's ever been on the show.
Nice.
Marshall Gibbons is back with us today, folks.
Fucking won.
You won internet points, Marshall.
I won points. Wait, can we say points? Is that okay again?
I
like a bunch of stuff.
But he's problematic. But the show's gone.
He came back, but then he's okay.
But he's a meme, and memes are okay.
His meme's okay?
It's not a Nazi meme, so it's cool.
I think it turned the corner and became pejorative. Like when you say points, it's always sarcastic. It's like, hey, you got points. Good for you. So I don't think it counts in as good markers anymore.
Oh, no. Well, then I got my witch card is in trouble.
No more points anywhere. No, I think
no more points anywhere.
I think witch points are okay.
Those are still good?
Yeah.
Because I want my free sub.
You got to get the
free. I got an Elvis witch coming.
Look, they better still be okay because I got Pinkberry points.
Thank you.
Although, just to make sure that you don't get a big head, you're still below Gina.
Like,
when people come up to us on the street,
Chan, all of us are
Gina.
We're all below Gina. I don't know if you heard, she's writing for Murphy Brown. We're all below Gina.
Literally, if they could punt me and you, Chan, and just have Gina, they'd probably be fine with that.
Yeah. True that.
But then they'd be thinking about her feet the whole time.
Yeah, Wiki feet is maybe the grossest thing. Like, feet are already gross, and then internet stalking is gross, so let's internet stalk people's feet.
Put those two together.
Guys, if you don't know what Marshall's talking about, you're better off.
Google it.
Do not, for your own sake.
Wiki feet spelled just like WikiLeaks.
Marshall, you got, where would the people know you from besides this show?
I'm a contributor correspondent for a show podcast called DC Hollywood for Ugly People.
Woo!
Yeah, live show, podcast recording out of UCB, first Saturday of every month. And other than that, I don't know if they watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend this year, they may catch me. I don't know.
Ooh. What?
Because I'll be a security guard in the scene. Don't worry about
you
it.
You excited?
No, I'm excited about it.
That's maybe where you might see it. You might see it. It'll be a while.
In the upcoming season.
This
potentially.
Season. Potentially.
We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Things happen.
A guy named Leonard, the security guard. You know.
I don't know if you guys know this. My favorite character from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is Leonard, the security guard, who hasn't even appeared yet. Just for the record. I appreciate that, Ray.
I appreciate that.
Guys, we are talking about a show that...
We thought it was going to be rough going in.
We did. Mm. We did something different for this episode. We watched the show. Usually we watch the show individually and bring our thoughts to the table together. In this particular episode, because we had to pay money for it, we decided to watch it all.
And you're going to have to
together.
Pay money for it, too, so sorry about that.
And what I would say,
though,
you've got worse ways you can spend $1.99. You can buy a Mega Millions ticket when it gets to $1 billion again and not win.
Yeah,
or you can buy an episode of Gilligan's Planet. Gilligan's Planet. Now, the concept behind this 13-episode attempt... is the characters from Gilligan's Island were able to escape the island because the professor made a rocket ship.
Mind you, it's the characters from, to be clear, not from the TV show Gilligan's Island, from the cartoon based on the TV show Gilligan's Island.
Right.
Because the real Gilligan's Island people could not build a rocket ship.
Correct.
Right.
They could build lots of things. They could build robots. Because
coconut radios and all that, but not a rocket ship.
But in this particular version, Professor builds a rocket ship, takes it to a far-off land on another planet, and now instead of being marooned on an island, they're marooned on an alien world.
But what I noticed is that...
Yeah. Yeah, guys, I said that out loud. That is really the plot of this show.
It's a great plot. But they remember, they ended up on that alien planet because Gilligan bumped... the skipper.
Correct.
While the skipper was driving the spaceship.
Was driving the spaceship, which is weird to me because he was driving from Earth to Earth and somehow got so far off track.
Yeah.
How bad a pilot is he? I guess is where I'd start. Like, he was already, I'm just going to say right now, he's using Gilligan as a scapegoat. He was already way off the
I'm just going to jump right in here and say that we haven't yet found a planet outside of Earth capable of sustaining human life.
Right.
So, however, wherever... whatever technology they were using to get someplace that was not the Earth, the odds of them even finding a place where they could breathe is infinitesimal. So the fact that the fucking skipper got bumped and they accidentally landed on a planet that could that they could live on is like, you better bow down and pray to
God. They didn't have spacesuits.
No,
they weren't prepared.
There was no way to test the air.
Which makes me wonder, like, Professor, what were you trying to prove making a spaceship so overpowered that it took you not to someplace else on Earth?
What is also weird is this is where Star Trek First Contact happened. They were just going so fast in warp speed, they actually went too far. And the aliens couldn't reach them, so they had to settle for the other crew that they had. Guys, this is Gilligan's Planet. Because this shit gets a little weird.
God, there's some bananas ideas for cartoons out there, but one based on a TV show that was already cuckoo bananas.
Right.
Just taken to the nth degree.
And the fact that they thought that this was going to be a great idea after they had already done the other Gilligan's Island cartoon is amazing to me. They're like, we're just bleeding this out.
Honestly, there's a part of me that just is surprised that Batman and Robin didn't show up at some point just because they were stowaways with Adam West and Burt Ward.
Would that make this a part of the DC Extended Universe?
It already is because they already hang out with those characters.
That's true.
Sweet Jesus.
If we can get Gilligan... the next, like, an Aquaman movie. That would be
we have
awesome.
A new member of the Justice League, Gilligan.
I just looked this up because I didn't actually look at the previous series. Because here's the thing. Gilligan's Island lasted a long-ass time. It makes sense that we would want to keep extending it and spinning off and doing whatever
we can.
How many
seasons was the regular?
The regular TV show wasn't as many seasons, I think, as everybody remembers it. Like, if I remember correctly, it's like not even 100 episodes.
Is it just because the syndication makes people think that it's been on forever?
Yeah. Also because every Gilligan's Island episode is the same, so it's hard to remember any specific episode.
They all run
so you
together.
Figure there's like 10,000 episodes just because...
Three seasons, 98 episodes, plus a pilot, so... Yeah, it's basically 100 episodes, which is, that's fine.
That's okay.
No, it's great, but it's not, people I think associate Gilligan's Island with having as many episodes as like The Simpsons.
Well, I'm just saying that
it's not true.
That it reran so many times, like The Money was rolling in. So you got to keep that
when
going.
When was the last year of of the regular Gilligan?
The last year of the regular Gilligan was 1970.
Wow, so this came out 12 years after Gilligan's Island was off the air.
Well, the cartoon, the first version of the cartoon was 74 to 77.
74 to 77. This
which
is 82, 83.
Weird, because it's two seasons and it's 24 episodes. Not a lot, but I don't know, that probably...
13 and 11 before they ran out of money.
Went through. Jesus. The fact that they had any money at all to put into this thing.
For context now, of how Gilligan's Island worked, you think of like a popular sitcom of recent era, like a Modern Family. So imagine this right now. Modern Family, is it still on the air? I think it's... So imagine Modern Family ends this season. This is the final season of Modern Family. And then in the year 2030, they come out with an animated version version of Modern Family where they're in space. Yeah. That's essentially what happened right here. Yeah. So with all the original cast aged way out.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about animation. Yes. It doesn't matter how old they are.
Oh, the voice is the last thing to go. We've
Thurston,
established.
Thurston and Lovey, they were like 40 years old in this cartoon. They aged out 40 years.
And like, I don't know anybody's name on Modern Family, but that cool dad character is hanging out with a green alien dog.
Yes, yep.
Like that's
be.
What he the actually, cartoon
yes,
is.
Would be. Ed O'Neill character, Jay? Yeah.
He well, actually, he's dead. But the boy...
No!
No!
That's not the one they killed.
No. I'm just saying in this version.
Oh, in this
he
version,
didn't make
he
it.
He died.
He died on the trip. But was
but they didn't just put him on a head? Or like make
exactly.
His head like...
They replaced him with a robot with Ed O'Neill's voice.
That's it. Like a... Oh, wait... Like the Jetsons and Rosie.
It's Rosie.
It's Rosie.
Here's the deal. I'm completely on board with all of this.
Yeah, I'm okay
And Sofia Vergara's character makes very slanted sex references about the robot.
Oh, Jesus.
Constantly. That's the show. But that's the level of what we're talking
this
about
is
here,
true.
People.
This is exactly what happened. She couldn't stop talking about pearls and being dumb.
No. Let's start at the beginning, though, the intro.
Yes, please. Let's
because, Chan,
intro.
This meets your approval for intros, or is it so... off the beaten path because and let me say it's a spoken word poetry piece instead of a song and because I believe it I said this while we were watching it I don't think they could afford the rights to the Gilligan's Island song for a Gilligan's Island TV show and so it's to the tune of Gilligan's Island but it's spoken
ish.
Word poetry
but it's, yeah, not, it's
in
not
rhythm
to the tune of it though there was like no musicality
but there was
at
no
all,
music
like...
at all
Gilligan and Skipper the millionaire his wife
the professor
this was the most musical part of it
the castaways
we left our tiny island after years and months and days
wow yeah it's she not, was that's, she wasn't even on the beach
nobody's on a beat here nobody's trying
yeah
I genuinely believe nobody wanted to try very hard in this
so nobody's getting royalties for that one
well my guess is basically what they did was they shoved them individually into little closets mm-hmm. and just like
oh, sure.
Here is like 60 pages of like everything that we're going to emit just say all of these things.
You can hear it in the recording of that. They just shove them in a closet. Yeah. You hear the echo and you're like, they're not on a planet's surface right now.
And like, they gave them sides. They didn't give them like Shakespeare.
They didn't
hear the lines, read them. And
give me three. I need three takes of each one and just go to the next.
Give each, but make sure you give me an angry in each one of those just
three,
to be safe.
And the last one angry on everyone.
And every single line.
We'll be out of here in 15 minutes.
When you're watching this show, if you choose to spend $1.99 to hurt yourself, that makes this
you'll
whole thing make sense.
You'll
when you're watching, you're like,
you'll know.
Oh, that's absolutely what they did.
That's
There's no
exactly
question.
What happened.
So,
that annoyed me because I'm like, if you don't have a theme song, you can't actually sing or like remember. Then what's the point?
Well, but like the original
that must
one,
be why it failed.
That's exactly why we figured it out.
The original theme song was a lot of talking. It was like, here's the story, and we were doing all this, and then when they got crashed on an island, la la la. So when they did it this way, I'm like, okay, I get it. We're going to. Give you all this exposition in the theme song just like the original and that's fine but yeah it's strictly in the execution. Here normally I would like this kind of theme song this is balls
this is not meet the Robert Clark Chan of approval
okay so the episode opens with Professor working on some sort of water cannon that's got a tub of water around
because that's what you need because right
he built
there.
This
so that's what you need
and he could use it to shoot water mm-hmm. to test his ability to shoot water with this thing.
He made a water water ray.
Yes.
Yeah,
something about like one of the components of the engine needed to be
cleaned?
Fixed in that situation. And then, the fucking dog lizard thing.
They have a alien pet. It's basically an alien like Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, it's a dinosaur, but he's an alien.
His name is Bumper.
And he's mischievous, and he basically spends all the time trolling the characters from Gilligan's Island. He does not improve their lives in any discernible way.
Mm.
They probably should have just eaten him.
I will say, as someone who has owned and continues to own a cat who is a huge asshole. Only, like, here's the thing. Like, he likes me, and he doesn't like anybody else. He doesn't like anybody else in this house. He just tolerates them. It used to be much worse, though. Uh-huh. It used to be much worse. Like, my roommates had a horrible time with him. And so I understand this relationship.
Yeah.
Because he's totally all about Gilligan, and, like, that's Gilligan true. Cuddles him, yeah, and stuff, yeah, like that. And he's like pure shit to everyone else.
But it goes beyond just pure shit. Like, he's actively trying to hurt them.
Yes. No, again. Like, again.
Okay, same deal. All right.
This isn't even this cat, but a previous cat hated my roommate so much that, like, my roommate took his fancy leather boots and he put them up on the top shelf of the closet because he knew that the cat would, like, pee on things that he didn't like. Uh-huh. Like, it was specific. It wasn't like, I can't control myself, I'm going to pee. It's like, fuck you. Because he did at one point, like, walk over to one of his things, boom, stare him in the eyes and pee on whatever it was.
Damn.
But this thing was, like, up at the top of the closet, and the cat, we didn't even know he could physically do it. He got up to the top there and peed on those boots specifically.
Damn! See, that's why I don't fuck with cats, man.
Or bumpers, just so you know. Bumpers. If you ever get stranded on
mess with alien dinosaurs. Skipper is building a ship in the bottle.
Sure.
Which, where he got a bottle or a ship in the bottle kit. Don't worry about that. I know it was just a 3-hour tour. He just happened to have that with him in case.
People was just wasted time.
The alien, a bumper, has now stolen Thurston Howell III's shoe, and he is running through the camp with the shoe, being chased by Thurston, who's understandably angry.
Yeah.
And the alien uses the water cannon to spray Thurston Howell, which who could have possibly seen that coming?
Hold on. Yep, that is the sound of a psychopath.
Yeah.
Also, if you notice, that was the sound of a laugh track. Because yes indeed, they put a laugh track,
guys,
in this cartoon.
It is one of the Wikipedia says it's one of the last cartoons that used an adult laugh track.
Really? Now that's interesting.
It's one of the laugh tracks to me are one of the most upsetting things that baby boomers ever gave us.
There's a real interesting 99% Invisible about laugh tracks. You should check it out.
Is that right?
It made me feel better about laugh tracks.
Really?
But in a situation like this, man, it's just creepy.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Laugh tracks for regular shows are offensive. I mean, like, if you've ever seen The Big Bang Theory with laugh track removed, it's the saddest experience you've ever seen.
Wait, there's a laugh track in Big Bang Theory?
There's a gigantic over-the-top laugh track in Big Bang Theory. So they took out the laugh track just to see what the scene would look like. And it's literally Sheldon says a line of a joke, and then the two characters, him and Kaley Cuoco, just stare at each other for a good 7 seconds, just staring back and forth.
Oh, you take out the laugh track of Big Bang Theory, and it's basically them just making fun of someone with autism.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, legitimately, that's what they're doing
I mean,
like, he's on the spectrum. Clearly.
10 seasons in a movie.
Clearly. And this whole thing is about laughing at him and his weird ways because he's on the spectrum.
But
the show is whack.
Well, that's the thing. Is like this show has been on for 10 years. And for 8 years, basically, it's been presaging the appearance of Donald Trump. Oh. Like, for 10 years, we've been laughing at, I'm going to say it, we've been laughing at retards.
Wow.
And it's just been building up to Donald Trump.
Oh, jeez.
We've made it acceptable.
I can see that.
Tell you what, I'm sure that most of the people who watch that show would not. They would look at you funny if you said, "Could you please not use the R word?" They'd be like, "The fuck?
Why? Why can't I?
Yeah.
Why are you infringing on my freedom of speech?"
Yeah. First Amendment.
I'm not.
First Amendment says I can say whatever I want.
But I'm not the government, so it doesn't apply to me. I'm not infringing on your shit.
It is still legal, and I can still punch you.
Right. Like, those two are not mutually exclusive.
Right. Don't worry about that. Okay, so at this point, Bumper goes a little crazy and shoots the water cannon into the ship in the bottle for no discernible reason.
Well, no, there was a discernible reason.
To be an asshole?
Said he's a troll.
Yeah, he's
a troll-ass dinosaur.
No, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
To the point where, like you had the ship in the bottle, I'm like, well, obviously by the end, they're going to enlarge the ship, and then it's going to do a thing. So, like, I understand the story mechanics of that, and that I'm fine with.
Did they?
But then they did.
They never
no,
did.
They didn't.
But then they did.
They did not. Okay, I don't understand that.
Hold on. We got a lot of exposition to get through here.
That is somebody who had an idea, and they're like, psh, too long. Cut it.
You know what? It just occurred to me that laugh.
They TLDR'd their own script.
Do you have that laugh for Bumper again, like, queued up that we could possibly hear? Because I just had a notion on that.
Why would you want to do that?
Oh.
That's Rubik the Amazing Cube. This could be the Genesis episode of that character because Gilligan finds a Rubik's Cube on the planet.
They just pushed the two together. Shit. They smashed them together.
Yeah. Like, what if the cube was alive and it made the same sounds as Bumper?
You forgot to mention that Gilligan is playing with a fucking Rubik's
He's
Cube.
He's playing with a Rubik's Cube that he just found behind a pillar on this planet.
Totally normal thing.
So what I immediately posited, oh my God, this is a Planet of the Apes situation. Yeah. they didn't go to another planet. They literally spun around through like an interstellar deal, and now they're back on post-apocalyptic Earth, where the only thing that survived was a Rubik the Amazing Cube.
They're just waiting for Mark Wahlberg's ship to show up.
This is my nightmare scenario. All at once.
You know what? Rubik was a Ruby Spears joint, which says to me that Joe Ruby was all. For some reason, he was watching this specific episode.
Yeah.
He fell asleep. A week later, he walks into the writer's room and is like, hey, I want you to make a show about a talking Rubik's Cube. And he's going to make a really weird laugh like this. Like, I'm sorry, what, boss? No, that's not. Get it right.
Sir, I can smell it on your breath.
Just do it.
Make it happen.
So Gilligan gives the Rubik's Cube to the professor. Don't worry about where it came from. Professor solves it in 2 seconds because he's a professor. He solves it to all the red side being accurate, and it now has zapped a tree, a giant mushroom. They keep calling it a tree, but it's a fucking mushroom.
It's clearly a mushroom.
Also, it is a mushroom. It enlarges. It doesn't enlarge.
That's right.
It didn't enlarge proportionally. It just got taller.
The stem got bigger. So it hits it with a red ray, which enlarges it. They're like, oh, that's weird. So he clicks it off and clicks it back on again. Hits a rock, makes the rock really big.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I think that might have been a joke from the animators. This is long before the days of dick pills, but enlargement was definitely a thing. People understood that was the dream of science, that someday we'd be able to make our penises bigger. The animator was like, all right, I got this. Here's your mushroom tip. And it just gets longer. It just gets longer. Not girth.
Oh, wow.
Just length. And just slid that in. Nobody noticed.
To be fair, Chan, every time I see a Rubik's Cube, my dick gets bigger.
What? What?
I just like the line of dialogue. Oh, here's the mushroom tip. That was my favorite.
My and so Thurston Howell the Third's like, oh, you can make things bigger. Here's my wallet. Make my money bigger. Because rich people have no idea how anything works.
Thurston Howell the Third displayed a horrible lack of understanding of the economy and how money works.
But also, he's the only one on the entire planet with money. So really, if you have all of it, it has whatever value you say it does. Mm.
I love the fact that none of these people still understand that they have not been home in a decade and a half. All their shit's gone. Your fortune went to your kids. If you don't have kids, it's gone. It went into trust. Somebody split that shit up. Your partner, your business partner took it. Okay? All your shit's gone. Marianne, your farm's gone. Ginger, your career's gone.
Gilligan, your roommate
smoked all your shit. Done, dude. He left and he took your girl with him. Skipper, you don't have a ship anymore. All the shit's done. There's no professorship for you, professor. It's all gone. Why don't you people understand this? It's all I want.
So moving forward, we cut to a scene of a bunch of machinery. And it's just random, like, 1980s computers.
Yeah. It was like the IBM store.
Yeah.
Sitting right there.
It's the size of a room, and it's just banks of computers and just things with buttons. And
but also, this motherfucker.
But who would have left it here?
Space Junkman?
This is a fucking, there's stacks of, technology, and it looks like technology that's pristine. They it was stolen so that it could be resold. It's not like just things like broken ass shit. It's it's like it looks like a bunch
there
of
there was a functioning robot.
Yeah.
They literally they transported a Sharper Image store to the surface of this planet.
Dude, he's gonna walk into a mall and be like, what is all this trash? Is this a
this must be the junk store?
I don't understand.
A landfill in the middle of the mall.
And yes,
fuck you, Gilligan.
To your point, there is a robot dog as part of this.
It was a fucking robot dog that roared like a lion.
And literally appears only in this scene.
And he said junk.
Like anything else, you would think it would come back and serve some purpose in the episode, but that is not how this show works.
No.
That is not even close to how this show works.
We plant seeds and we don't water them.
We don't. We let them die in the sun.
Let them die. Fuck germination.
And now, there was a weird little sequence because we'll get to it in a sec.
The pirate ship flies across the sky,
do we know it's a pirate ship?
Because it looks like a pirate ship,
like a fucking pirate ship.
Does it have a flag? I assume it had a flag.
Probably. No, it didn't. It was no flag.
What's amazing is it flies through the air like a normal boat, like it's a boat, and then it like has a one thruster that thrusters itself down like a Harrier.
Harrier
jets. That's
you know what all that shit reminded me of, and it just hit me. It was all Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
That was all the pirate ship.
The pirate ship from Super Mario 3 shows up.
That's exactly what it was. Do you remember Captain N, the Game Master? And when they got to that, that's what it was.
So the pirate ship captain is a pig who has one piece of
warthog. Warthog. Yeah. Warthog.
He has one piece of animation where he jumps up and down.
Just be sensitive to the fucking species.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. He's not a police officer. He is an actual animal.
No.
Hey, everybody.
The white guy said that.
I'm the only one that can.
Thank you, Ray, for taking that.
I'm
for
here
us.
For you guys.
Appreciate it.
And his two. What are his two? He has two crewmen who are like weasels.
They're like weasel fox. What they looked like were the standard.
The weasels from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Like those standard like Hanna-Barbera type cartoon like dog weasel fox like rat combos.
And the pig speaks. General, sort of like hoggy English.
Oh, he was
like
British. He was a British hog.
And, like, the two weasels, we were halfway through the episode and I literally turned and I said, are these weasels actually speaking English? Because it was just made up words followed by real words and then made up words and then another real word at the end of the sentence.
They tried to give them both the classic dumb, like, they tried to add that to some like fake made up. Like alien words.
Yeah, it was like glop glor.
Deep zorp captain.
See,
deep zorp captain.
Deep zorp captain.
It's the most upsetting thing ever because I feel like I'm supposed to understand them, but every time they said anything, all I heard was Charlie Brown's teacher in the background.
Yeah, they did. They took too much alien gibberish and slammed it together, so it was real hard to parse out which are the English words and which weren't. There's another place a little bit later where it's like,
Meep zorp, captain.
But we don't have it, sir. Oh, it's a boom bop, baby. A blizzin' blop. A boom burp.
like they're this alien is trying to say a specific thing, but because it's alien gibberish, we don't know the word when he screws it up and like, no, what I meant to say was
zeep-zorp. Bleep
it
blop.
Just makes no sense.
Oh, that was so great.
it's so upsetting.
Such nonsense.
This whole show is upsetting.
Like, you're supposed to at least be able to, like, maybe kind of infer what they mean.
Because the way my brain works is once I start establishing I don't understand it, my brain goes, well, then I don't care anymore.
It's all
stop even trying to translate it. Like, I'm just like, oh, cool. If you don't give a shit, I guess I don't either.
It all became worthless.
So, we get to the scene now with the pirates, and a Bumper has seen the pirates and runs back to the camp. Back at the camp, the professor leaves his tent and leaves the cube in there because the professor has no sense of security of any kind at all.
No.
We have this very important find that could literally save all our lives and or improve 100% of what we're doing here. I'm just going to leave it out in front of the moron.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
Like the Democrats,
yes.
They believe that humans are essentially good, and if you just sort of like just like a level playing field, everything's cool in the gang, everyone's just going to be reasonable.
Okay.
But the fucking skipper needs to turn his fucking bottle ship into a real ship because he's got such a hard on for sailing, that he's gonna like risk all of their lives to do it. Fucking yes. Thurston wants to. At least he's on board of like, I want to take gold and make it.
It took
large.
Him way too long for him to say that.
That was not his first thing.
Yeah. I really believe that Thurston Howell III thinks those oversized novelty checks they give away at football games are actually like just worth more money, because they are bigger checks.
Like somebody had to have given the note like, okay, but the dollar bill's growing bigger doesn't make it worth money. You have to change that. And they just changed it once.
And then Ginger was like, I've got a fucking photo of myself. I need a poster. So I'm going to need you to take that thing that could literally turn the world
food.
Into a utopia.
Yes.
And
unlimited
use
food
it to make a she didn't even say a fucking billboard. No. She said a fucking poster. Yeah. That's all insane.
Yes.
Your career is shit. Nobody wants your poster.
Look, to go point by point.
Yeah, I'm going
to
make my IMDb star go up with this enlarger ray. That's how it works, right?
I've done a fair amount of modeling in my time. I mean, it was a job of mine for nearly a decade is to work with models. Never once did I think to myself, if I take this model kit and make it really, really big, I'm going to have a real tank.
Yeah. I totally thought you were talking about female models.
I did too.
I don't remember.
I was going to let the story ride out.
Building and painting miniatures. You are all terrible.
Wow, they're little people, Ray. Don't call them miniatures. That's rude. That is disgusting.
How dare you, sir. But the idea that this model of a boat would actually function as an actual boat is beyond conception. This just simply could not be, Skipper.
They wrote everyone to be like this extreme idiot for some reason. Like, I don't I don't understand why.
The original show was similar to that. It was a little more grounded in that, like,
Skipper wasn't that dumb, though, was he?
But then
I've seen a few episodes of Gilligan's Island now. The Skipper wasn't that dumb.
Then they turned it into a kid show and like dumb.
He was dumb. Thurston Howell was dumb. Gilligan was like normal dumb, so it didn't matter. But then Thurston Howell's wife was dumb, Lovey. Ginger was dumb. They didn't really make Marianne all that dumb.
They made her backwards, though.
They didn't give her much anyway, though. That's the other thing. They didn't really give her much.
To be fair, they didn't use Marianne a whole lot, because then people might notice that her and Ginger were both voiced by the same person.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get Ginger for this project.
And Ginger refused. Flat out, I'm sure of it.
Okay, so Bumper shows up to warn them, and he decides he's talking. They're like, we don't understand you. You're an alien dinosaur dog. Yep. So he finds a
with
curtain.
This, actually, it kind of feels like rich white people talking to people who speak in a foreign language.
Yeah,
like, I don't understand.
Just get louder,
and just like a
and
perfect,
slower, yeah.
Like yeah, he was saying like there are pirates, and it's crystal clear to literally everybody. They're like, we no, I don't
no
get it.
No habla español. And so he decides, oh, obviously the thing I could do right now, given that I have human intellect. But no ability to express myself.
And a full
is...
understanding of Western culture.
Thank
yes!
you.
That
was the point I wanted to make.
Oh my God.
He knows.
He brings a curtain over
he
and
knows
then
showmanship.
A pantomime. He puts a leaf on his head and an eye patch and he becomes a pirate. Just be like, yo, I'm a pirate. And also, I understand what pirates are in your world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes. And they still... Chan, can you just...
That's right.
It has something to do with an organ grinder's monkey with a black rock in his eye and a leaf on his head.
And that was just extra special dumb. That was just extra dumb for no reason.
So he comes back and with a picture of a skull and crossbones.
Yes.
Because how
would an alien dinosaur know about skull and crossbones being associated with piracy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been watching a lot of Pirates of the Caribbean movies together,
like
obviously.
Like when he mimicked the pirate, when he was pantomiming being a pirate, he pantomimed having a peg leg.
Yes, he mm-hmm. did.
The dinosaur alien pantomimed being a pirate having a peg leg.
Here's the thing. American culture is everywhere.
Man, they're on a planet with no televisions. What is this going on here?
So they finally figure out that it's a pirate, and they decide to have a meeting. And at this meeting, I mean, could you just have a little sound cue of Ginger? Because
they fucking had a roundtable discussion about this shit.
And they allow Ginger.
I've let a word for honesty. Oh, thanks again.
They're
I'll tell you what, actually like that running gag.
Yeah, she's doing the crossword puzzle the whole time.
It was only two beats. I needed a third beat.
They had
that.
To pay off, right? This show does not know how to pay off anything.
Nope.
Ginger's lost her mind. I don't even know why you invite her to the meeting at this point. Like she will add nothing to the table.
And we didn't discuss this before. Ginger has white hair in this cartoon.
She does.
She does not have her classic red hair. Her hair is stark white.
Like, actually, I posted about this on Facebook, and somebody chimed in that, in fact, it was because they didn't want to get sued. And what's her face? Who played Ginger?
You know, yeah, Ginger.
They, I can't remember, yeah. Like she had red hair, so like, okay, we got to make it completely different. So,
but the same character.
But this is the same character, same voice, same name. Did she have a mole? I can't remember if she had a mole.
Assuredly, she had a mole.
They might have taken the mole out with the red hair.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
It's the incredible G.I. Joe Mobile Command Center, and it's hunting for Cobra. Three levels of awesome Cobra chasing, Cobra fighting power.
Level one, armed and ready to attack.
Level two,
computer system is go.
Engine room,
we have full power.
Level three,
missiles loaded, let's go.
Prisoner secured.
Go, Joe!
Let's move out.
G.I. Joe! Mobile Command Center comes with driver, other figures and vehicles sold separately.
Go, Joe!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Okay, so Gilligan, they allow at this meeting that they're having, very important to talk about piracy and their lives. They let Gilligan just play around with
the
Rubik's Cube.
What are we going to do with this, about these pirates that are just over the horizon?
Yeah. During this meeting, they let Gilligan play with the cube, just inexplicably. He ends up turning the blue side now, which now shrinks everybody, including himself, everybody also, but the professor.
Back up, because it's a real weird thing.
Yes.
It's a visual thing, but like... whoever it was, like flung the cube.
Oh,
at
yeah.
Him.
No, that's right.
And there's a weird perspective shot where the thing gets big as it comes. And at first, I was like, oh, they switched the button that made the thing large. But no, it was just some. One person was like, you know what? There have been absolutely no physics. involved in this cartoon in any way, shape, or form.
Nope.
At no point do we involve perspective
right
at
now.
All. I'm going to take this one moment to do a...
You've wasted several thousand dollars on this, Bill. No! I want everyone to notice this.
If we're not realistic in this one shot, I'm off the project.
There's one shot where the cube magically like floats down the table to Gilligan because nobody pushed it and it didn't squirt. Because I didn't hear a squirt sound effect. I needed that squirt or something. Otherwise, it just floated.
So, Professor is normal sized, and every other cast member now is shrunk to...
Except Bumper.
They're shrunk to, like, a foot and a half tall.
Yeah.
They're not, like, Smurf
small. What's the scale?
Small.
What's the scale on that? That's probably, like, 1/6 scale, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they were, like, 1/6
they were,
scale.
They were basically half their height.
They're a little smaller than that.
When I read the
liner notes.
Yeah, the thing that says what the thing is at the beginning.
You know, the thing with the thing.
I am. Words are not my friend today.
This word.
It was like
this cartoon made all of us dumber. Assuredly,
it was like they get shrunk and they have to fight off pirates. So I was expecting them to be, you know, like 3 inches high, something like that, Smurf size.
Yeah,
but they were just small ish.
They probably couldn't do Smurf size for fear of copyright infringement. They're probably dodging copyrights all this whole time.
Blu-ray, small, there's no way. We can't do this.
We got to use this Rubik's Cube. We can't call it a Rubik's Cube.
So now they've got double problem. They've got pirates on the horizon, and they're all small, so they can't fight them like they were going to fight them anyway.
Right.
But now we've just taken that completely off the table. And so the third's like, well, shit, we have to evacuate. I'm going to get a wheelbarrow and pack up all my valuables.
This fool packed his luggage. He got small and went and packed his luggage.
Those shirts don't fit anymore, Thurston.
Motherfucker. He packed his luggage and then had a wagon full of pearls.
He had a Red Rider
wagon
filled with pearls.
Oh, man.
And each of those pearls is the size of, say, like, maybe a watermelon to him. Like, it's about, like, a cantaloupe.
Like, they were orange size. They were
okay.
orange size.
You think orange size?
They were, but Lovey just couldn't let anyone get their hands on her
wouldn't
pearls.
Want that.
No. Where y'all gonna go?
This is my point. I wrote down here, where are you going with this, and how is this important?
Y'all packed up to leave, and y'all still don't have a way to get off the planet in the first damn place. Otherwise, you'd have been gone already.
I will say, as far as the logic of this cartoon goes, as far as the story structure of it, it still fits. It still fits that she is totally into pearls, and you have those pearls so that later on he can spill those pearls and they can go slipping. It was definitely something that they're at the end are like, how the fuck do we get out of this? I don't know. Have them slip on some, like, ball bearings. They don't have fucking ball bearings.
Oh, sure.
Fucking pearls.
The pearls.
Why
yeah,
would
the
they
pearls.
Have those? They're fucking rich. Why did they bring the pearls with them on the rocket? Shut the fuck up and do it.
Literally,
animate it.
Of everything else in this episode, that's what they pay off. That's what they pay off. That's the one.
Yeah.
Now, also, all three of us simultaneously had the same thought at this moment. As the Rubik's Cube that has enlarged a tree and now shrunk them, and they are shrunk, and they all sit around being like, what could we possibly do to solve this problem? And all three of us, within 1.5 seconds, said out loud, why the fuck don't they just use the cube to enlarge themselves again? They already are having the cube in front of them, and they're all right there.
You already got it. Just do it.
Like, this isn't a hard solution to come by. This we're not you know, curing cancer over here. This seems like a pretty straightforward answer to this problem.
You think, but nah. Not for Gilligan and his boys.
It's like I have a fist and there's a Nazi around me. What can I possibly do?
What do I do with it? Do I shake it? Do I just shake it? Shake it in the air wildly?
You just punch the Nazi.
I'm shaking.
It's
what?
Fine.
I'm going to see if I can fit this in my mouth.
So now we wonder out loud, where is the cube? Oh, Bumper has now stolen the cube because he's a dick.
Troll. He's got to stay on brand, okay?
And Bumper is now being chased because the pirates have identified the cube as something worth 50 billion gazorpazorps or whatever the fuck money
whatever
exists
made
in the
denomination.
World.
How dare you use a reference from a much better cartoon. For the record...
Goomblotters, thank you. That, 50 billion goomblotters.
Goomblotter officially feels like an offensive term.
Oh, it's 100% an offensive term.
Man,
someone snuck the fuck into this script.
Trying to have a good time in our picnic, and these three goomblotters are sitting on that blanket over
I
there.
I guarantee there's some old racist person who every time they think about this script they wrote, they giggle. They giggle. They giggle right there with next to their fucking ventilator, like,
when I was a child.
Goomblotters.
I used to call the Thompsons down the street Goomblotters.
It's the most offensive thing they could have. And this cube is worth 50 of those. 50 billion.
50 billion.
50 billion. Because they say, how many Goomblotters is this worth? And they're like, I don't know, 150. He's like, it's worth 50 billion. Which is, I mean, how do you get it wrong by such a margin?
And if it's worth 50 billion Goomblotters, why did you leave it there in the first place?
Thank you.
Well, it's not like it was big and hard to hide.
He said, you put it in your goddamn pocket. With you guys. Where did you put it? Like, motherfucker, I don't just leave diamonds to some other dude and like, hey, you hide these and then I'll come back for them.
Hey, Marshall, I've got all the money I've ever had in life in this sack. I'm just going to give it to you to leave somewhere. Is that cool?
Oh, yeah, because I'm going to leave it right on top of that thing.
Great. Hope Gilligan isn't around.
I'm gonna leave it right there.
But also, you're looking for the Rubik's Cube device. Maybe just look for the oversized tree and be like, it's probably near that.
These pirates were whack. Their salute was to like smack themselves in the nose. Did you notice that was the salute? That was the salute that they were given every time they would say like whatever their version of II Captain was. Yeah. Like he like. Hit himself in the nose so hard that he would scrunch it up. Yeah. And that, like, they did that like four times.
Well, that's
like,
why they're all so concussed.
They're fucking.
That they can't even think straight anymore.
Pirates with CTE. Literally, now that's an angle.
They've got so much CTE that half the words they try to say come out as goombalabalab.
Gobbledygook. Oh no, it's happened to me.
Meep Zorp Captain.
That is the voice and words of somebody who's going to murder their family someday.
He's not going to make it. He's not going to make it.
So there's a big chase scene, and Bumper is running from the pirates, and he's and what did I in the moment? Even I called it out. I'm just like, he's just going to hide it in the water of that water cannon.
That's right.
Which is the worst place you can put it. And all of a sudden, they cut back to, oh, I hit it. Where did you hide it? Don't worry, it's safe. 1.5 seconds later, the pirate, the weasel pirate's like, hey, look what I found inside the water of this water canyon I'm looking into inexplicably.
Mind you, though, this the weasel pirates were so dumb that the fact that he just sat and put his hand inside of a tub and fished around, so he didn't see it because he fished around for it. So he didn't see it through the water. He just decided to stick his hand in a vat of liquid and hope to find something. And he got lucky. His dumb logic got reinforced in that moment.
That's how
he's
going to
do that over and over again.
That's how dumb that the weasel pirate is, though, that what he did make perfect logical sense in this universe of stupid people.
That's why. Okay, so the alien dinosaur did something so stupid.
That's right.
That it made the weasel pirates dumb smart.
That's right. It made sense to him. Well, it would only be in this one place. He hit it. This is the obvious place.
This is the only place it could be.
Yep.
Can you explain why they have this very valuable device?
Yes.
And they're hiding behind a rock.
Yes, they are.
Because the pirates will murder them otherwise.
Yes.
Why would they hide the size device in another place? Isn't the safest place where they currently are, which is behind a rock, hoping to not get seen at all?
No, see, this is where you're obviously, your argument is fallacious, because I have a wallet on me right now,
mm-hmm.
and typically when I go out in public, I just leave the wallet places, right. So that way, it's safe.
Right.
Not on me in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe if I just leave it on top of a locker or something.
Somewhere. You just put it up.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Or sometimes if there's a water cannon with a giant vat of water, I'll just put the wallet down at the bottom of that.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's always there because there's no weasel pirates in this world.
Well, the problem, the only reason why they had to hide it in the first place was because Bumper fucking took it. If Bumper also hadn't taken it.
So were they hiding it? No, because it was Bumper that hit it.
Right, but Bumper hit it after he got found out by the pirates, after he took it, after they were looking for it.
Yeah.
It was so fucked. It was so fucked. They were like, we're small. What are we going to do? Hey, where's the thing? Oh, shit. Bumper is running, and Gilligan's chasing Bumper like, yo, give me the thing back. It's like, how did Bumper get it in the first place? Bumper runs into the pirates. Oh, now I got to run and hide it. That's when it got hidden.
You guys, this whole episode, Bumper's working angles.
Dude,
Bumper's trying to fuck them hard, and he keeps just not getting away with doing
Bumper's
it.
Just trying to see whoever makes it out on top, and then it's like, I was helping y'all the whole time.
Look, I got this Rubik's Cube for you, pirates.
Wait, you speak English, Bumper?
Don't worry about that, Gleep Glorp Blazop.
At the end of this episode, you just see him walking off with a limp, no limp.
Yeah.
He just gets on the pirate ship and flies away. 50 billion goon blotters richer, motherfuckers.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that was amazing, because that picture went in my head just as you were saying it. I was like, yes! He's fucking Kaiser Sosa.
So, the pirates have decided, we now have the cube because we found it. We got to get out of here. We're going to sack the camp of the villagers, of the Gilligan's Island people.
Right.
We're going to take all their shit. So,
we're space pirates. Let's go rob them like some fucking general thieves.
And why not?
Like, we're fucking Detroit thieves. We're just going to roll up in their
crib. How dare you, sir?
I'm sorry. I've seen several things about Detroit lately that's been about people getting robbed.
How dare you? Listen, ever since I left, it's gotten a lot safer.
Crime's gone down since you left.
That's right.
I just wanted to check with, I don't know if this is a thing or not, but it just really stuck out to me as weird, is when they're behind the rock and they're like, I've got a plan. There's like a real long segment there of like just real weird audio of them muttering, and
I have some ideas.
And it suddenly becomes an ASMR video.
That they were doing there sounded really gross. Like, I know several people that could physically not be able to take listening to that.
Yeah.
Like, they would be physically affected by the sound of
I've got an idea. And it involves cunnilingus.
Chan, all your ideas involve cunnilingus.
I'm the fucking professor. You listen to me. You listen to me, you asshole. I've got a degree.
Oh, man. Me too, guys. Come on, man.
No, this is 1982.
That's true.
We're not even
close.
So, okay. So man, the plan professor. Of the gang is now we talk about Bumper having a reference level of all of Earth culture. Apparently, our heroes of Gilligan's Island have a reference level of all space alien police force
sure.
culture right. mm-hmm. because they catch a plan to be like, we're going to pretend the overall arc of this plan. We are going to pretend like the space police have shown up to take the pirates away to scare them off the camp and get them off the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That is our plan.
We know what a space what a fusion engine sounds like.
Yep.
A space patrol fusion engine. We know that we can make that sound with the grasses on this planet.
We know.
All
okay.
fine.
We'll we have an intimate go. Knowledge of lighting and perspective.
Yeah, let's go point by point here. So it opens up with an alarm sound or mm-hmm. like an engine sound, and mm-hmm. it's three of the gang with leaves that they're blowing into, like it was like
Like, oh yeah, know, like looking at like the leaf harmonica.
Yeah, they're making little music like, notes.
And I thought that was cool.
Like an alarm of sorts, and they're and the pirates are like,
it's a very different kind of plan to like, we'll just blow these leaves.
I was on board at this point.
Yeah,
everything's fine.
Okay,
so far so good.
Alarms. Okay, cool. So and they're so like, good. Oh, there's a loud sound. We don't quite understand it. Right. This could be space police. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by they look for whatever reason these pirates are so dumb. They look up into the sun.
Yeah,
and they're
directly.
Like, oh, we can't see the space police because the sun is affecting our perspective.
Sure.
Which at that point, I thought maybe I blinked or looked away. And didn't see them set up some kind of light situation.
No. Not even a little bit.
No.
I really did for a second. I was like, did I miss? Was this part of the plan? Did they set up a big bright light? How did they get a big bright light? What is going on right now?
So now the gang is throwing paper airplanes that they've made.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and just, the most basic of paper yeah. airplanes. Mm-hmm.
But they're also throwing them in perfect precision with each other. So they fly in tandem with each
oh,
other.
Oh, yeah. This is a group formation. This is like the Blue Angels of paper
this
airplanes.
Is exactly that. And so the shadows of the paper airplanes look yes. exactly like space police.
Star Destroyers.
Star Destroyers.
They look like some Star Destroyers.
Which, as yeah, you know... Right? If, because we've all thrown paper airplanes outside, that when you throw a paper airplane, it makes a shadow roughly 7-8 feet across.
And it flies perfectly straight.
Solid
and a
shadow.
And
no wobble. Dark.
No yep. wobble. Yep. Mm-hmm. No, none of that.
And they stay in formation, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're starting to go a little bonkers. So,
no, this is what it was. It was someone the artist was like, fuck you, man. If you throw a fucking paper airplane because of where the sun is, it's not going to make a shadow like that because that's not how fucking light works. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, just do it. Just do it. Like, I'll make a fucking stand. You get this fucking perspective right. It was like, fine. You can do your fucking cube thing. Go ahead. Just let us have this. Otherwise, we can't get out of the episode.
That's who it was. That dude. Bill, I swear to God.
God damn it, Bill. Now, the professor has a bunch of paper bags he got at the local Walmart, apparently.
Hey, wherever they got all those sheets of fucking paper that they used to make paper airplanes.
He's got paper sacks.
They went to the 99 cent store.
And he starts blowing them up and popping them, and the space pirates are like, oh shit, now they're shooting at us.
Yeah.
Because that's the obvious take from all of this.
That is the sound of a fusion-powered spaceship shooting at you.
A laser yeah. cannon.
Pop.
Is what he said. They're mm-hmm. shooting laser cannons at us.
Mm-hmm.
It was a brown paper bag yeah. exploding.
Yes.
That's the greatest. You wouldn't last a minute in the hood.
At which point... The gang is seen. They run into a cave and they get chased by the pirates who, despite the clear imminent threat of space cops
uh-huh.
and the fact they have everything they came there for,
all of it,
still need to go get them for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta chase them.
So this plan is clearly not working. They chase them into the cave. And now we get a flashlight?
Yeah, what was that light source?
A light happens in this cave.
They had a light and they cut out figures of space police.
They cut out the silhouettes yeah. of space police, like five in a row, like paper dolls.
Yeah.
And they march them up and down in the same place against the wall. So the space pirates are like, oh shit, now they're on the planet. They're coming for us specifically. Never mind, they're staying in that one area and keep going left and
hold
right.
On.
And
here's
and
the
over
thing
again.
They would have been fooled. That would be an accurate argument against that. However, they were tricked. By the sound of the bootsteps.
Hold on. Okay. All y'all.
What?
Ready?
You got
Let's
it.
Do it.
Here we go.
You know what?
So
I take it
menacing.
Back.
This
holds up.
Scares the shit out of me.
Guys, I'm afraid. Guys, have you heard that goose step parade happening outside our window?
No, it was just us slapping our thighs.
Oh, it was just us.
It was just us slapping our thighs, guys.
Oh, I swear to God, I thought Nazis were in the street.
No. I could see how you would make that mistake. It was because slapping of thighs and boot steps on concrete sound exactly the
identical.
Same.
Identical. And also, who can even tell where it's coming from?
Exactly. Nobody knows.
Nope.
The sound doesn't travel in directions, so we don't know.
So now we get
by the way,
final...
that was the skipper. And who was it? Skipper Gilligan and the professor doing that?
Yeah.
Slapping their thighs for the boot stomps.
So now these pirates are officially spooked, but they're still this. Why even bother with the plan? Because they're still chasing the heroes at this point. Like, they haven't actually been deterred in any discernible way because they're chasing after everybody. And we have our gag with the pearls that we talked about earlier, where the Howls are running with the pearls because the space pirates want to steal the pearls.
Right, right.
And so they hit a bump on the wheelbarrow and the pearls go everywhere and we get our classic rolling on marbles. We can't get up because we keep falling over.
Stop stepping on my pearls. You're damaging them.
That was
horrible, horrible.
That was pretty decent. I'm not going to lie.
And at this point, okay, guys, you're going to need to explain this one to me. I need help because they finally figure out, let's use the cube. And so they use the red side and they all get large again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they use the blue side and all the pirates get small.
Oh, no, they shrank the pirates first.
Shrank the pirates first, and then
they made themselves bigger.
Yes. And then they accidentally trigger the blue side one more time in a mirror, which hits the cube.
Because Gilligan always got to do some dumb shit.
Which makes the cube blow up.
The binary balance is misaligned.
Yes, yes. Because the blue side comes up, which is the shrink size, mm-hmm. but it hits a mirror, thus taking it to the upside down,
mm-hmm.
thus bringing it back when it hits the cube, which causes the cube to enlarge despite the fact it was blue side, mm-hmm. and then explode.
Uh-huh.
Like, when are we going to find out that the professor has a fake degree? Because,
rocket ship.
He was just making shit up.
He did build a working rocket ship, is all I'm saying.
The binary battles. Motherfucker, you didn't open this. You didn't take this apart, because if you did, it wouldn't work. You didn't do anything. You don't know shit.
Yeah.
You don't know shit, professor. We're on a different planet. We should be on Earth right now. Professor, you don't know shit.
This is alien physics, professor. I know you didn't study that shit.
I'm sick of you and your bullshit lies, professor.
But you know what? They're still alive. They're still alive on an alien planet. So give it up for whatever bullshit degree that professor has.
I don't know, man. Like, I bet a bunch of them are going to start like, maybe there is a God. Because I don't see any way how science has helped us right now.
And to a point Marshall talked about in the show, the tiny pirates run into their ship and how do the pirates operate the ship?
They decided to cut bait and run. They said, you know what? We're going to get on our ship and leave. And they got on their ship and left, but they were tiny. How did they operate their damn pirate ship?
No. You know what they did? They decided is like, we've got 30 seconds left in this fucking episode. We're just going to get in the ship and get the fuck away. Because we got to wrap this up.
We got to wrap this shit up.
And we're going to have our comedy moment that happens at the end of the episode.
Yes.
And so the Bumper threatens Thurston Howell III with the water cannon because he says, I'm not wet. And then Thurston Howell III hits the water cannon and squirts himself in the face. And then he starts laughing uproariously in a very out of character.
Oh, that's right.
Moment.
It was the joke. It was the joke. Like, Thurston, stop being such a wet blanket. What? I'm not wet.
Yeah. Slap.
And then we build up to it. We see it's coming and know it.
Right.
And, but
oh,
the thing
no,
is,
you're not going to get me.
But then he turns the thing on. He's being sprayed in the face with water, and everybody's laughing, and rather than moving out of the spray of water, he just stays in it. He stays in it. He starts laughing, but you know what? At that point, that's not the laugh of a man who's enjoying himself and joining in the laughter with the others. That's the laugh of a man who's going to slip into their fucking tents at night and murder them all.
They're all dead.
This water is still on me, and I am laughing because, this is wonderful. All of you will pay.
They're all dead.
He
chokes them all out in their sleep.
I mean, to be fair, this is...
He's like, I'm doing my bare hands, too. I'm not using any weapons. I'm killing every last one of you, and I want to feel your pulse in my palm.
I'm going
to
look in your eyes when it happens.
I was going to say, I'm going to make sure...
I feel it get lighter and lighter until there's nothing. Until I feel nothing in my hands.
And I'm going to make sure that you wake up and look me dead in the eyes before I finish.
To see that life pass from your eyes as I kill you. Because I'm fucking wet, and I don't have my money.
I'm wet. My mud is small.
Guys, that's Gilligan's Planet.
Oh, man. You gotta love Thurston Howell the Third.
This, like, oh, I mean, apparently, until we, in the next couple months, we're going to get back and we're going to start G.I. Joe again. We're going to start doing Series 2 Deke episodes of G.I. Joe, which are bad. I mean, like, I think, to me, and this is just me talking, I think the original series of G.I. Joe cartoons are absolutely good. Mm-hmm. They're thoughtful. There's good references in there. I think that they take chances. They're trying to do a thing, despite the fact that where they're starting from is maybe a lower echelon starting point. Mm-hmm. And I think that they, the writers that they hired and everything, they escalated or elevated the show to something higher than it was ever supposed to be. That's my opinion of G.I. Joe. Series 2 is what G.I. Joe, I think, was supposed to be in the first place. And it was just something to sell toys that we don't give two shits about. And that's Series 2 of Deke. Now, we are about to, when Gina comes back from Murphy Brown, assuming we can get her back on the show again, let's start there.
I'm hoping the contracts work out so she, like, by law can't work.
That's right.
And then we'll get her.
She was like, I have 6 months. I'm physically not allowed to work.
I'm not allowed to work in another show.
Gotcha. Nailed it. And we're going to come back. We're going to do all of Series 2 G.I. Joe.
Oh, God. That
Whoa.
Is a completely different cartoon.
Guys, I'm spending too much time on Daily Stormer, apparently.
G.I. Oh, my God.
G.I. Joe. Fuck off.
Dude, you,
look, I did
that's
it.
That's in the universe now, though. You don't even understand. Yeah, that is out there.
I know.
somewhere in Israel, there's an animation company that's like,
you know, somebody just, oh, come on. There's fan fiction about to be written right now.
Damn it.
Hebrew Hammer and G.I. Jew. Like, you know it's coming. You know it's coming.
Does that mean they owe me money when they do it?
Oh, when you see Adam Goldberg in the next Comedy Central movie about it, you will definitely be owed some money for that.
Guys, I'm just saying. Apparently, between doing Series 2 Deke episodes of G.I. Joe, and now Chan is going to find shows to break me. Is that what the goal is?
Is that the goal?
Because we just
Turbo
Teen.
I mean, at this point,
we've
now
done this.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's going to get darker before it gets light.
It's going to get rough.
Because
Chan, I mean, you said before, I don't know if you said it on air, you have a list of really, really
shitty,
out there
the
stuff that you want to start doing.
Yeah.
Cream of the crop.
Oh. So guys,
de la creme.
Buckle in, because our Thanksgiving and Christmas gift to all of you is going to be some out there material.
Oh, man.
And this is, I would say Turbo Teen is worse than this. Turbo Teen was definitely weirder than this, but this is absolutely top five crazy shit we've done. And there's Egon waking up in the other room.
I was like,
so
oh,
we'll
man.
Get out of here in just a sec. Marshall, anything you want to plug really quick before we go? That's good.
That's it. Nothing. Just Mr. Happy Givens on Twitter and Instagram.
Do it. You can hit us up, facebook.com/knowingusafthepodcast, patreon.com/knowingusafthepodcast. $5 gets you access to over 40 bonus episodes, and you should want to do that.
Get that Patreon on, yo.
Chan, any upcoming shows you want to plug?
November 18th, got a show, Pillow Monster at the PAC Theater.
That's your new group.
Yeah. Nice. Also,
PAC Theater doing it big, y'all. PAC Theater, get on it.
Yeah. November 15th at 11:30 at night, a show called Bob, also at the PAC. Check that out.
Fantastic. Yeah. I don't have any new games I'm working on yet, but that's in progress. We'll hopefully put something together with that.
We're going to make a Gilligan's Planet video game.
Gilligan's Planet, but it's going to be 8-bit style.
Beta test the fuck out of it. It's going to be great.
It's going to emulate Toe Jam and Earl as far as concept goes. It's going to be fantastic. Guys, you know all the places. Hit us at G.I. Joe Podcast on Twitter. Individually, I'm at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
You're at Mr. Happy Givens.
At Mr. Happy Givens.
So you should go out there. So until next week, I'm sure Chan's going to find some weird shit for us to do. I hope you spent the $1.99, and so you will own this forever on YouTube. But if you didn't, consider
it. Join the experience.
Got to join it, dude.
You gotta be with us.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
Peace.
From an island to a star, lost on Gilligan's planet.
Gilligan and Skipper, the millionaire, his wife.
The professor, the movie star, and Mary Ann began a brand new life.
What creatures we encounter.
What riddles do we face?
What mysteries now haunt us in a strange, enchanting place?
Our adventures are the best by far.
Here on Gilligan's Star.
What?
Oh, yeah.